Today's Shir is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Samech. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Nun Tazim Be'ez, 13 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we had a discussion of the dimensions of the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built and had direct ramification to understanding that when Shlomo HaMelech built his Mizbeach, the Pasuk says it was too small. What is meant when it was too small? Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built was 5 by 5 amos. But we have a Gzeirah Shava of Ravua Ravua, which seems to indicate that it was 10 by 10. To which says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Gam Gzeirah Shava. Rabbi Yossi, when he learns the Gzeirah Shava, he says, it's here to teach us Begavahu the Gomer. It's here to teach us how high the Mizbeach was. And he says that the Ravua, which the Torah uses when it speaks about the Mizbeach HaChitzoyim, is not to be connected to the word Revua, which is used by the Mizbeach that's spoken about in Novi Yecheskel. It's come to teach us, it's to be connected to the word Revua that's said by the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, the Pasuk says regarding the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built, Vasisas Mizbeach Atzi Shittim, Chamish Amos Oyer v'Chamish Amos Roichav Ravua Yuha Mizbeach v'Shalosh Omar Kamosan Dover Kisam Dov Yehuda. According to Yehuda, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to build a Mizbeach that was 3 amos tall. Rabbi Yossi, however, says, Nemakan, the Torah says by the Mizbeach Achitz Ravua, Namal Halon, and when the Torah speaks about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Torah also uses the word Ravua. The Pasuk says, Ama Arkav Ama Rachba Ravua Yia, Vamasayim Kamasai. Ma'ala Halan, just like when we speak about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Govai Prishnaim Be'arkai, the height of Mizbeach was double the length. The length of the Mizbeach was 1 amma, and the height of the Mizbeach was 2 amma. From here we learn, Afkan, when we speak about the Mizbeach HaChitzin, the height has to be Pishnaim B'Arkai. And therefore, if the length is 5 amas, the height was 10 amas. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Rabbi Yehuda asks to Rabbi Yossi, how could you say that? Is it possible to say the height of the Mizbeach is 10 amas? Efshur, in Kohen Oymel Gabba Mizbeach, according to that, the Kohen would be standing on the Mizbeach, and he would be doing the Avoida, and everybody outside, Rayna Shema B'chutz, would be seeing how he does the Avoida. And the Gemara finds that, Rabbi Yehuda finds that difficult, not a lack of tznius, a lack of derech eretz, that he should be doing an Avoida, and everybody should be able to see the Avoida. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi, to respond himself, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say that the height of the Mizbeach was only 3 amas, and the walls around the chotzu were 5 amas, but like v'nemar, v'skalei chotzu was masa shar chotzu shal mishkan v'al Mizbeach, the Mizbeach and the Mishkan were surrounded by kloim. It's actually the same kloim, explained all the mefarshim. Ma Mishkan. So just like the Mishkan had kloim that was Esra Amos, Afa Mizbeach was surrounded Esra Amos by curtains that were 10 Amos tall. Voimer, and the Pasuk says, kloim chamesh Esrei, the Amal Kasef, that the kloim by the doorway were 15 Amos tall. Ma Tamaloimer. So what does the Pasuk say that it was 5 amas? What it means to say was, Misfas Mizbeach Ulamala. So Rabbi Yossi is interpreting that the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall, and there were 5 amas above those 10 amas, because the curtains were 15 amas, gives you a 5 extra amas to give you that way of not seeing what's doing inside. Umar Tamaloimer. But if that's the case, he asks, how do we explain the words the Shalosh Amay Kamasai, that the height of the, well, was three Amis, says the Gemara, Misfas Asayvav Ulamala, that we count without the chronos, without the corners, from the Saiviv, which is the ledge, is where the Kohanim stood. Now, that is not the ledge that normally Kohanim stand to walk on. It's a special ledge that was called the Karkov HaMizbeach, that was made for decorative purposes. And that's, we had three Amis, as I just said, without the taking consideration the corners, those three Amis, that's what the Pasuk means with Shlosh Amis Kamasai. So now, Rabbi Yossi has said that the Mizbeach was 10 Amis tall, and there's 5 Amis above it for people to see, to people not to be able to see what's going on inside. Ramey Shapiro asks a question in the Sefer Imri Das. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, did the Avodah on the Shiva Shemei Meluim. He was the one that was designated to do the Avodah during the Shiva Shemei Meluim. And as for Meir Shapiro, we know that in many places it's stated that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos tall. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos tall, and we're learning now that there was only 5 Amos overage on top of the Mizbeach, how could Moshe Rabbeinu have done the Avodah, as if we keep on saying in our shir that it had to be done in a way that it's not visible to everybody? So a question that I saw that some ask is that Ramey Shapiro should not have just asked about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ramey Shapiro should have asked about all the Leviim, because the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, says that not just Moshe Rabbeinu was 6 Amos tall, but all the Leviim, many Leviim were 6 Amos tall. So the Sefer Moshe Zakenim asks another question. He asks, how was Aaron able to enter the Mishkan to work with the Menorah to do the Ketores, if the Leviim were 10 Amos tall, and the Mishkan was only 10 Amos tall, and on top of that, the Kohen wore a mitznefes on top of his head. And how could somebody that tall enter the base? How could somebody enter the base of Mikdash? So the Sefer Lahiris Nosson suggests two answers. One is that this was all Nisim, and since they were all Nisim, that this was one of the other Nisim, that even though Persa was so tall, he could enter the Beis HaMikdash, enter the Mishkan and do the Avodah. And another teretz that he suggests is that only the Leviim who were from Shevet Kohos were at tall. And since only those Leviim were that tall, everybody else wasn't that tall. So now we can understand that all year round, the people who did the avodah on the Mizbeach, they specifically took Leviim, Kohanim, who were not that tall, and therefore they wouldn't have the problem that when they did the avodah, it was visible outside. But that doesn't answer the question that Ramey Shapiro Zatzal asked about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very clear in the Pesukim that Moshe Rabbeinu did the avodah during the Shiva Shemei Meluim. And it's also very clear that he was that tall. So the Sefer Chashukei Chemed wants to suggest that we know that the Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu would walk, he would wear a mask, a mitzvah, because his face glowed, and it was impossible for people to look at him. But the Pasuk says, "Ubebar Moshe lefnei Hashem ledabi itoi." When Moshe would come to speak to the Eibishter, to God, Yosa Mitzvah Atzei, so he would take off the Mitzvah, and then Yotzvi Dabo Bnei Yisrael Shid Tzava. So he wants to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he did the Avodah, everybody was scared to see him. Everybody was scared to look at him. And since they were all scared to do the Avodah, nobody was looking at him. So yes, he was so tall. And because he was so tall, he was taller than the client, than the walls that were around the base Hamikdash, but around the Mishkan. But it doesn't make a difference that, and there would be a concern, well, nobody's allowed to look at him when he's doing the Avodah. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he did the Avodah, nobody actually looked at him because they never looked at Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, so we just learned that Rabbi Yossi has been learning the Gzeir Shava of Ravua regarding the height of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Kigam Gzeir Shava, but Rabbi Yehuda, when he learns the Gzeir Shava, Barach Vahuda Gomer. He uses the Gzeir Shava, as we learned previously, to teach us the Mizbeach of Yecheskel was measured from the middle, and that's how we got to that size. And regarding the Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, also, when it says it was 5, it doesn't mean really it was 5, it was really 10. Because the way we get to 5, it was 5 from the middle, 5 plus 5 equal 10. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda comes Chazi Koyin, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height of the Mizbeach was three amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as we just learned, the height of the Mizbeach was 3 amos, and the height of the wall, of the Kalayim, the curtains around, were 5. So we have the problem. So according to Rabbi Yossi, we've been able to resolve it. But how will we resolve it according to Rabbi Yehuda, that people standing outside the Mishkan would see what's going on inside? Ask Mal Rabbi Yehuda, how come it's Chazi Kayin? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kayin becomes visible. So how do we understand this? Answers the Gemara, now the Kayin is Chazi. Yes, the head of the Kayin could be seen. However, the Avodah that he was carrying, the Avodah biyadai lemischazi, what he was doing was not visible. And what the Gemara is saying is that when we're looking that what he's doing should not be seen publicly, what we're particularly focusing on is the Avodah. And here we're going to accomplish that the Avodah won't be seen. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda. We go back to what we discussed earlier in the previous year. The pasuk says Bayamu Kiddush HaMelech. The pasuk speaks about Shlomo HaMelech, and the pasuk says Bayamu Kiddush HaMelech as Toicha Chatzah Shef Nei Beis Hashem Kimizbach HaNechayish Shlofnei Hashem Kot Mehachas Ha'Ola. So Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand why Shlomo HaMelech had to sanctify the floor of the Azara, Hanedik Siv Kiddush, because as we learned, the Mizbeach of Shlomo was not large enough to bring the Kabbonis on it as we made the calculation. El Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, that there was enough room on Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach to bring the Kabbonis, so asked the Gemara, my Kiddush, what was the purpose of sanctifying the floor? Answers the Gemara, Lahamid Mizbeach, to make it a place where you could put the Mizbeach. And as Tosfos explains, even though David HaMelech had already been Mekadesh, all of that area, as we had discussed, to be the Beis HaMikdash, to be the place for the Avodah, but still, he had only been Mekadesh at Lachila, that it's a place where you could eat Kachin. What Shlomo HaMelech had now done, because there wasn't enough room, he also was Mekadesh that you could do Kabbonis on it. According to Rabbi Yossi, what it means is that the Mizbeach, the Moshe Rabbeinu, was small, Hanedik Sif Katan. That why the pasuk is called small, as we described, it wasn't big enough to bring all the Kabbonis for Shlomo. El Rabbi Yehuda, that he made the Kiddush, is referring on the floor of the Azara, my Katan. What is the shat in the pasuk when the pasuk says that it was cotton? The issue, according to him, is not the size of the Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. The issue, according to him, is actually the size of Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach. Says the Marahakama, Mizbeach Avon Mishasa Shlomo Tach's Mizbeach Nechayshus. That's exactly how to explain the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is teaching us that Shlomo HaMelech had built a Mizbeach, And that Mizbeach was, that was instead of the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built. The Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built was called Mizbeach HaNechoshes because it was completely covered by copper. That was cut in half. That was too small. And that's why he had to make that they could bring Kabbonis on the floor of the Azara. So according to this, we find that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have had some very significant machloikas. Actually, four. One is, what was the need for Shlomo HaMelech to be Makadish, the floor of the Azara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because they were going to bring Kabbonis on that space. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he was Makadish it because that's where the Mizbeach was going to be built. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach, the size of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was 10 by 10. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was 5 by 5. The height of the Mizbeach of Moshe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was 3 amos. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was 10 amos. And there's a machlokes also regarding the height of the curtains around the chatzar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were 5 amos tall. According to Rabbi Yossi, there were 15 amos tall. Says the Gemara, but my pimbilgi, says the Gemara, and all of this emanated as we began our shir, how to learn the Gzeres Shavah of Revua Revua. Does the Gzeres Shavah Revua, Rabbi Yossi holds that the Gzeres Shavah is to connect the Mizbech HaPnimi to the Mizbech HaChitzayim, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's to connect it would the Mizbeach HaChitzoyim from Moshe Rabbeinu with Mizbeach of Yecheskel. Ma'asavar, and what is the basis of what they're saying? Says the Gemara, Ma'asavar, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is done chutz mechutz. The Mizbeach that we're speaking about was the Mizbeach that was outside in the Azara. The Mizbeach that Yecheskel speaks about is also Mizbeach that's outside, and therefore that's a better match. Then, says Rabbi Yehuda, then learning ein chdan chutz mipnim, then to learn a halacha from the gzeir, from the mizbeach that was in the outside, from the mizbeach that was inside. Whereas a masava, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is don a kli mekli, the mizbeach nechosh that Moshe Rabbeinu made was a keli. The mizbeach, it wasn't attached to the ground; it was only a keli. The mizbeach that in the base of Mikdash, the mizbeach apnimi is a kli. They ain't done a kli mi binyan, whereas the binyan, the mizbeach of Yecheskel, which is attached to the ground, is not a keli, and that's why it's not a bad match. But says the Gemara, Amar Rava, even ago Rabbi Yehuda just taught us that Shlomo HaMelech was mekadesh the floor of the Azara, that he was mekadesh the floor of the Azara, still to be able to do kabbonis on that floor. But says the Gemara, Maider Rabbi Yehuda, the Domin. Rabbi Yehuda will agree when it comes to Zrikas Adam that the Zrikas Adam must be done on the Mizbeach and it cannot be done on the floor of the Azara. And the Gemara proves this. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Kais Echad. We learned this regarding the Korban Pesach. And the Gemara says, Kais Echad, Ha'im Ramal Madam Hataravis. They had much blood on the floor of the Azara from all the Korban Pesach that were brought. And they used to take one cup of that blood, the shavchal gabim mizbeach, and pour it on the mizbeach, on a corner that has a on a side that has a yisoid, because we are concerned. Shemi shavchal dam shalach mehem, if the blood of one of the kabbanos pesach, there were so many kabbanos pesach, and there was so much doing, and everything had to be done so very quickly. There's a concern that maybe something spilled. So what they did was that they would take some blood that was left on the floor, and they would take that blood and put it on the mizbeach. Shem yishafech dama shalachmem, that if any of the blood had spilled without having proper zrik sadam, nimtza zeh machshiroi, this would correct that. Says the Gemara, v'isakadatach, if we're going to say, sovrab yudukul hazar mekacho, that you could do zrik sadam, even on the floor of the azara. So why do we have to go out of our way to do a new Zrik Sadam and the Mizbeach? The fact is, on the the fact that it was on the floor, has Avdil Mitzvasei, should be enough. And the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. They say, here we're concerned that some of the blood got spilled. And because some of the blood got spilled, maybe it wasn't as proper as Rik Sadam. But there's another concern that we've learned in Amasechta, and that is if any blood spilled before it had a proper Kabbalah Sadam, that blood can't be used for, that blood can't be used. So how does this solve that problem? So they say, for that we could rely on Kahanim's reasoning. And for that much we could rely that the Kahanim were careful that all the Kabbalah Sadam should be done properly without anything spilling on the floor without a proper Kabbalah Sadam. But we can't be confident that none of it didn't make it to the Mizbeach, says the Gemara. Maybe he holds that being on the floor is a proper way of doing Zerika Sadam. If it spilled on the floor and never was done with intentional Zerika, that's why it's not good. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that what the concern is that it wasn't done with a proper act of Zerika, so that could easily be corrected. Just take it and pour it on the ground. Says the Gemara, that's still not a raya. Because yes, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that the floor of the Azara was Neskadish. And the floor of the Azara was Neskadish to the degree that if you do Zrika Saddam on the floor, it'll be fine. But everybody agrees that doing it the preferable way is the right thing to do. And therefore, pouring it on the Mizbeach is certainly better than pouring it on the floor. And if that's something that we can do, then we should do that. And that from here we learn the Masham has a tshuva that one should do a mitzvah, even do the mitzvah in the best way possible. Even one should do the mitzvah in the best way possible, not rely on any haterim. That's why he brings a raya that if we're teaching a child to do a mitzvah, we're teaching him chinuch, we should always do it. We should do it, teach it to him to do it in the perfect manner, because that's the way a mitzvah is supposed to be done. And actually, this is a famous question, a machloikus of the Shvus Yaakov and the Chacham Tzvi regarding Chanukah candles. Somebody did not have, we all know that the halacha is that preferably for Chanukah candles, we're supposed to use olive oil. But somebody did not have olive oil, and he has some menorah, and it's Chanukah, and he starts preparing wet candles because he doesn't have oil. And after he finishes preparing the candles, before he actually lit them, he got oil. And the question is, should he remove those candles and put oil into the menorah, or should he just leave the candles that he had? The Shvus Yaakov says, since he came so far that he already put candles in menorah, leave it that way. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees. He says, mitzvah min amufcha is odd of doing it the best way. And the Chacham Tzvi brings a raya from Gemara Masechta Yuma Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, where somebody designated an animal for Korban Pesach, and it got lost. And he designated, then he found another animal, then he designated another animal, and then he found the first one. So which animal should he now use? Tanakhama says he could use whichever one he wants. Rabbi Yossi holds that he should use the first one. However, Rabbi Yossi agrees that if the second animal that he had designated is a nicer, better animal than the first animal, you should use the second animal. So we see from here that doing the mitzvah in the best way is always what is preferable. But I saw there are Vosna Zatzal and the Shail Tzuvah Shevet Alevi, Chel Gimel Simen Ayin Tes, says that that is not necessarily a compelling raya. He says that the Gemara often says that when it comes to bringing a carbon, the Torah says you have to bring the best carbon possible, up to the degree that the pasuk, the Gemara Masechta Menachos, Daf Samach Dalam and Alv teaches us that if somebody brought a carbon from an animal and then he finds a better animal, he should bring the better animal. So we see, even on Shabbos, so we see that by Kachim, there's a special rule of Miramufchor, as our Gemara just also indicated. So therefore, maybe by Kachim, since there's a special rule of Miramufchor, so that's why, if even if you already had another animal designated, bring the second one. But here, in other mitzvahs, it's just under the concept of Zeh Keli Vanveyu. Of course, there's a point of Hidden Mitzvah. But it could be, he wants to suggest, that the Hidden Mitzvah that exists by Karbonis isn't the same as the Hidden Mitzvah that exists by all other mitzvahs. And it would be very relevant. If somebody already bought an Esrig, and it's a nice Esrig, is there a point in buying another Esrig, which he now finds, which is nicer? It seems by Kachim, the Halacha would actually tell us to bring another carbon. But here, there is no such rule, and maybe it wouldn't be required. Amar Belezer continues the Gemara Mizbeach Shenifka. If the Mizbeach, as we discussed before, it got a nick on it, it got broken in some way, ein oichlem shiyar mincha. We're not allowed to eat. We know that the Karban Mincha, the kamitz, is removed, and the rest is eaten by the Kohanim. We may not eat the rest of the Karban Mincha. Shenema, when the Mizbeach is in this state. Shenema, the Pasuk says, kichu asa mincha, and it says, mitzah Hashem, v'achlu matzis, eitzim Mizbeach. And the question of the Pasuk is, v'chi'eitzim Mizbeach, achlua, is there a halacha that they have to be specifically eaten next to the Mizbeach? What does the Pasuk mean with these words? V'chi'eitzim Mizbeach, achlua, ella, to teach us, bizman, shusholim, that it may be eaten when the Mizbeach is in good shape, v'loi, bizman, shuchaser. But you may not eat from it when it's not in perfect shape. Says the Gemara, ask Khan, so we have indeed found a pasuk, v'shiyar mincha, which are kachi kachim. We know the karban mincha is kachi kachim, and as we've learned, the shirayim of the karban mincha may only be eaten by zichri kuna, by male kohanim, only in the azara. But ask Hashem kachim, kachi kachim in olam. How do we know that this halach applies to all kachi kachim? Ask your kodesh kodesh. We learn exer shava by mincha. It says kodesh kadoshmi. And so does it say by other kabbanis. Continues the Gemara, kachim kalim anayim. How do we know that this halacha also applies by kachim kalim? Amabaya asti midrasha Rav Yosi. We learn it from the following drasha. The Tanya, Rav Yosi, I'm a shloisha dvarim b'shem shloisha zakenim. Rav Yosi says three halachas in the name of three zakenim, v'zeh echem hem, and this was one of these three halachas. Rav Shmuel Omer, the Torah says regarding the Maisa Sheni. With Allah is that the Maisa Sheni, we know in the first and the second, and in the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maisa Sheni has to be taken from the produce and taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Yochel Yal Ad Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim V'Yechleinu B'Zman Hazeh. We would think that even B'Zman Hazeh, the Allah should continue, because as Rashi explains, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remains. Dinhu, and we can make the following argument to make this point. There's halacha by Bechor. Bechor ton avos makam. We have to bring the Bechor to Yerushalayim. And Maisa Sheni, as we just learned, has to be brought, havos makam, has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ma Bechor ena nechal b'fnei abayis. Only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing is the halacha of Bechor, that we have to take the firstborn male animal of any kosher animal and give it to the Kohen. It's one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, and if it doesn't have a mum, the animal is slaughtered in the Azara. We do Zrikas Adam, we burn the Amram, and the rest of the meat is eaten by the Kohen in Yerushalayim, like Kachim Kalim. And if it has a mum, it's just given to the Kohen and he eats it like Chulin. So, says the Gemara again, Ma b'char ena el b'fnei b'ayis, just like the b'char only is applicable when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, a ma'isa ena el b'fnei b'ayis is only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. But says the Gemara, well, how could you learn from b'char to ma'isa? Ma'al b'char Shekein Tom Matim Moral Gabim Mizbeach. So you see that it's different, that we can't learn that, can't learn Maisi Sheni from Bechor, to which the Gemara says, Bechor Yechichu, we'll bring a raya from Bikurim, that there's no, Bikurim is the first fruits of the Shevas Haminim, are brought to the Kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash, and we give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen waves those fruit, waves that together with the owner, and there's a whole parsha of Mikra Bikurim, and then it's given to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So we see that Bikurim is only applicable when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So too should be the halacha of Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara, you can't prove from Bikurim to Maisa. Mal Bikurim, Shekein Tunan Anocha. There's a special halacha, how the Bikurim are brought to Yerushalayim, and how to put in front of the Mizbeach, and the entire procedure that we just described. So we can't learn the halacha of Maisa, not from Bechor, nor from Bikurim. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "Vaveisu sham aleichem v'zivchechem v'esmeras v'seichem v'estrumas yetchem v'nedrechem v'deisechem u'bekaris bekarach v'tzaynchem." Makish masul bechor. What this pasuk does is it connects the halacha ma'is to bechor. Ma bechor ain el b'fnei bayis. Yes, like the bechor only is by the base of mikdash. Af ma'is ain el b'fnei bayis. So it's only applicable in the base of mikdash. And as the rishonim explain, if we learn a mamatzinu, if we're trying to learn the halacha of one to the other, then the halacha is we can't necessarily, it has to be a perfect match. But if it's not a perfect match, but if it's a hekish, it doesn't have to be a perfect match. Says the Gemara, but now that we wanted to learn from Bechor, and we said we can't front because of the special rule that Bechor has to have, Zerikas Adam and Emurim. And Bikurim we can't learn, because Bikurim has a din of Hanocha. But ask the Gemara, when they had the din of Nesim Matzad, ask the Gemara, we can't learn from Bechor to Maisa, nor can we learn from Bikurim to Maisa, because of the questions the Gemara posed. But why don't we learn a Tzad HaShava between Bikurim and Bechor? Says the Gemara, that also wouldn't work. Both the Bechor and the Bikurim have some connection that something has to be done on the Mizbeach, whereas Maisa has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara continues to analyze what was Rabbi Shmuel's thinking that he said that Bechor doesn't apply Bizman Azeh, and Maisa he's not sure. Says the Gemara, Ikesover, if his opinion is that Kedusha Rishoyna, Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asalavai, if the Kedusha that was in the Beis HaMikdash continues to exist, so, when we speak about Maisa the same, that when this Pasuk says, by Maisa V'chatlof Nei Hashem L'kecha, that the Kedusha is still there, and therefore we can eat Maisa B'zman HaZeh because we're fulfilling V'chatlof Nei Hashem L'kecha, so then halach ought to be the same way by Bechor, that it should be considered Chalt Lufnei Hashem L'kecha. Vika Sover, if on the other hand, it is his opinion, that like Kitcha L'Asalavai, that the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash no longer exists, and therefore his question is, by Meiser, maybe we don't need a Beis HaMikdash, or is it still considered Lufnei Hashem? So then the same question, I feel Bechor Namilas Tapi, he should have asked in a case where, this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, in a case where somebody brought the Bechor in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed, so you brought it properly, may you continue eating it afterwards. Says the Mara Amar Ravina Loyal Kosovar of Shimel's opinion is, Kitchel Ashat of Loy Kitchel Asolavai. Vach my skin with Mara, as we just said, the Dizrik Saddam of the Bechor was before the Churban. Bechor Bais Vadayim Bais Kaim. But now we have the meat with no Beis HaMikdash. Do we say, Iskish Besar Ladamai? Do we compare the meat of the carbon to the blood of the carbon? Ma Damai B'Mizbeach, just like the Dam is only worthwhile when we have a Mizbeach. When we have the ability to do Zrik Stam, Ap Besorai can only be eaten when we have Mizbeach. And now, and therefore we can't, since we can't do Zrikas Adam, we can't eat Basar. And therefore by Meiser, Halacha, what would be the Halacha? And he says, and he wanted to say, Asa Meiser, V'yalvim B'char. But ask the Gemara a different question. What do we want to learn here? The fact that the Basar of the Bukhar is not eaten is because we're comparing it to the Dam of the Bukhar. And we're saying that since the Dam can't be put when there's no Mizbeach, so we can't eat the Basar. And then we want to learn Meiser from Bukhar. Says the Gemara, haven't we learned so many times in our Shurim that a double Hekish is unacceptable? And this is an example of a double Hekish. And it says the Gemara, Maisa Dargan Chulin Hu. Maisa is Chulin, and therefore where is there a rule that a double Hekish is unacceptable? The loch of a double Hekish is unacceptable is only by Kachin. Maisa is not in the category of Kachin. Says the Gemara, but when we want to identify, is this a Hekdish, is this a subject of Kachim or not? We have to look. If we're talking about what we're learning from, at the Talmud, so here the Talmud is Meiser, and Meiser is indeed not Hekdish. Elamand am Vosim, Elamand is Linen. So who's the one that's teaching the Halacha? Bechor. And Bechor is Kachim. So back to our question, Ma'ikla Meimer, why would this not be considered a double Hekdish? And it says the Gemara, Dam and Basar, the Gemara says that the Dam and Basar that we're talking about are not to be viewed as two separate entities. And since it's not to be considered as two separate entities, it's considered one entity. So we're learning the halacha of Meiser from Bechor. So it's not considered, with a Hekish, that's not considered a double Hekish.